Today we will be finishing our series on questions, a series that was based on actual questions that members of the congregation gave me about God or Jesus or the Bible. Today I'm going to actually kind of put together two of them. I received one question about discernment. Like, how do we discern which things are of God and which things are not of God? And the other question had to do actually with the interpretation and application of a passage of Scripture. I'm just going to touch on that one lightly because the text was from Matthew, and I'm going to be teaching on Matthew this fall, this whole year, and I will really address that issue in more depth later. As always, we take time to quiet our hearts and to open ourselves to God's Spirit before we hear God's Word read and proclaimed. And so I invite you to pray with me now. Lord, we do pray because we do need discernment. We get hit by so many things and are exposed to so many teachings and attitudes and opinions and information. And we as Christians are called to cut our way through that, to discern what is of God and what is not of God, what is truth and what is error. And so we pray, Lord, that as we reflect this morning on these scriptures, that your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would speak to us and shed light on our hearts, our minds, our wills, so that we might follow you, Jesus, more faithfully and more fully in every area of our lives. Come, Spirit of God, to each heart, each mind, each will. Speak, for we pray this in Jesus' name. I've chosen this morning two short texts from Paul's letters. The first one is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is Paul's last letter. In it, he is in essence passing the baton to a younger pastor. He knows he's going to die soon. And he's giving Timothy instructions about the focus of his ministry. And so he writes to Timothy these words: "Make every effort to prove yourself as a Christian worker, one whom God approves, who is unashamed, who handles the word of truth accurately. But avoid and get away from empty and godless talk. For those who engage in such things will become more ungodly." Right? There is an effect if we sit under empty and godless talk. "Their teaching will spread like a cancer." And then Paul names names. Hymenaeus and Philetus are among such. These are people within the church who are Christians, whose false teaching is spreading and deceiving God's people. Paul continues, "Such people have departed from the truth, and they destroy the faith of some." That's why Paul's concerned. And then from Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he's talking about living a godly life and about thinking godly thoughts. And so he says this in Philippians 4, 8 and 9. "Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of honor, whatever is just and right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is any moral excellence and anything that is praiseworthy, ponder and let your mind dwell on these things. Things which all of you both learned and received and heard and saw in me. Put these things into practice consistently, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm sure you're aware that we live in the information age. We are bombarded by information all the time. Turn on the TV and they will be blaring information. Pick up your smartphone. Look at the internet, Facebook, Twitter, information. Read books, Christian or not, information. Pick up the paper, information. Pick up any magazine you want, information. Turn on the radio, information. So how do Christians discern or cut through all of this stuff? All of this information, how? We receive so much of it from so many sources, from so many perspectives. How do we cut through and discern God's voice in the midst of all that? What is our filter? Well, I think you probably know what I'm going to say, right? Before I take this junk in and accept it as of God, I got to run it through this book. I've got to let the scriptures be the discerning grid that stuff passes through before I swallow it. So how do we do that? By studying. Yes, by studying, engaging with, discussing, knowing, and understanding the scriptures. A Bible on your shelf, like medicine in your cabinet, is not going to do anything. And this is the truth. The scriptures, in some way or form, address almost all, if not all, the areas of our lives in some way. Think about it. The scriptures talk about our spiritual lives, our moral lives, our emotional lives, our relational lives, our physical lives, our intellectual lives, our financial lives, our socio-political lives. There is no area of your life or my life that scripture does not speak to. But here is the question. Do we know, as individual believers, not the pastor, but as individual believers, do we know and can we articulate, explain what the Bible says about all the areas I just mentioned? Are you equipped to do that? If someone asks you, why did you make that choice in your financial stewardship? Right? Why are you acting that way in that relationship? Can you tell them why biblically? This has been a problem not only today, it's been a problem for thousands of years. And that's why the word of the Lord to the prophet Hosea, to the people of God in his day, was this: my people are destroyed. Do you get the message? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why we're focusing this coming year on the Gospel of Matthew, which is the heartbeat of Jesus' ethical teaching. It's why we're presenting and offering a study of the Scriptures that goes from Genesis to Revelation, so you can get the big picture about who God is and how God calls us to live. That's why we all must make every effort to handle the word of truth accurately. Now, interestingly, Paul uses a kind of different word when he talks about handling the word of truth accurately. What you need to think of is a machete, right? And you are Indiana Jones in the jungle, and you have got to cut your way through the forest, through the jungle, to make a path forward. Because we all know that the Scriptures can be twisted to say things they don't say. It's easy. That's what Hymenaeus and Philetus were doing. The word Paul uses literally means to cut a path through forested country that is difficult to cross, so that a traveler may reach his destination, in this case, loving obedience to the Lord. I want to use for an example the scripture that one person asked me about that I'm going to address in the fall in more depth. But it's the passage in Matthew where Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is saying, not to worry. Don't worry. God knows your needs, right? He's going to take care of you. He's going to feed you. Lilies of the field, birds of the air. You know the story. And you can read that passage as an honest thinking person and say, but that's not true, right? God isn't feeding people in Africa or even the hungry in America. And you can then reject that and say Jesus was either lying or misleading people. But if you cut through that text properly, what you're going to see first is that the audience to whom Jesus is speaking are his disciples. And he's telling them that as you go about following me, teaching, preaching, living for me, don't be consumed by worry. 7 times, I think it is, in that passage, Jesus says, don't worry. That's the point of the passage, spoken to his followers. That's the theme. It's not a passage about world hunger or local hunger. It's a passage about our attitude, our trust in God. And that's not all. The first rule of biblical interpretation is context. You don't ever pull a verse out of its context. And so if you read the entire Gospel of Matthew, what you discover is that Jesus very clearly addresses issues of hunger. In Matthew 14, he feeds 5,000 people. In Matthew 15, he feeds 4,000 people. And how does he do that? Do you remember? He uses his disciples to do it. Right? He's not saying God is going to drop the food down from heaven. He says, what do you have to eat? Give it to me. Right? And then, of course, Jesus breaks it and blesses it, and the miracle occurs. But that's not all. In Matthew 25, the scene of judgment of the sheep and the goats, one of the standards is, did you feed the hungry? Right? We are God's answer to hunger, the people of God. That's just a teensy, it doesn't get into a lot of issues, but that just gives you one example of how we have to be so careful in the way we take in the scriptures. That's why I'll be teaching a class on Thursdays on Matthew to help people learn how to, first of all, just observe what the text is saying. Because if you don't do that right, you're already off track. And then we'll learn tools for interpretation and then tools for application so that we can cut through a text accurately. But the scripture also gives us some other just guidelines so that when we take in this information, right? They're just some qualities, some values, basic biblical values that we can use, right? It's the first pass through. That's what Paul's talking about in Philippians. As we try to discern God's voice, God's ways, God's will in all the stuff that we read and hear and see, we can ask ourselves these questions. Is it true? Bottom line, is it true? Because if it isn't true, we don't need to go any farther. Is it true? And there is, as Dr. Francis Schaeffer used to say, there is true truth. There is objective truth. Is it true? Is it worthy of honor? Is it something that's worth lifting up and honoring? Is it just and right? Does it hew to God's view of justice and righteousness? Is it admirable? Is it something to admire and look up to? Something appealing? Is it morally excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Is it true? Is it worthy of honor? Is it just and right? Is it admirable? Is it morally excellent? Is it praiseworthy? So think again about all the things you're going to encounter this week, all the forms of communication you're going to encounter. Think again about all of the life issues that those things and the scriptures will address. Spiritual, moral, emotional, relational, physical, intellectual, financial, socio-political. And the question for us is, will I choose? Will I be intentional about cutting or handling God's word aright? And will I be intentional and committed to discerning God's voice in truth? Jesus calls us to know less. I want to invite you now as a prayer of commitment to stand and join me in singing a hymn. It's on page 559. It's called Make Room Within My Heart, O God, right? We fill ourselves with all this stuff, and there's no room in our hearts for God's Word. So please stand. Mark is going to play through the tune one time, and then we will sing. Standing, turn the page, and now we will sing the brief song, May the Mind of Christ, My Savior. Please be seated. As God speaks His Word to us about our values, about our commitments, I hate to tell you, but He's going to wiggle His way down into your wallet. Because God created this world to work. He has an economy. And part of God's economy is that God's people are called to give generously, both to the church, so that we may fulfill God's call on us in terms of our ministries and mission, and so that we may also serve those in need outside these walls. And so as the ushers come forward in just a moment, I ask you just to give as God has given to you. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we have a long way to go, and you have a lot more work to do in us. But we thank you for what you have done and what you are doing, not only in our individual lives, but in us as a Christian community, the life, the hope, the comfort, the truth that you are teaching us that strengthens us in our faith. And so we pray, Lord, that as we give out of full hearts, that you will do what Jesus did with the gifts of the disciples, that you will take these gifts and that you will bless them and use them to feed us in a world that is hungry spiritually, physically, morally, intellectually. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering?